ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER101. If you have any questions, you can call in at 877-711-5611. Well, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommended universal screening for domestic violence recently for women of childbearing age, and we're very lucky to have an expert here to talk about us. I want to welcome Dr. Bridget McCaw. She's the medical director for the Family Violence Prevention Program at Kaiser Permanente in Northern California. She oversees the implementation of a comprehensive, coordinated approach for identifying and offering services to people that are subject to intimate partner violence. And she's done a lot of research in it. She's an internist, and she has her master's in public health. So, Dr. McCaw, welcome, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Glad to be here.
So, you know, I had to say, hats off. I'd like to get your opinion, because recently the USPSTF has been getting a lot of flack, telling women in their 40s that they, you know, shouldn't have mammograms. I know all of the breast cancer advocacy groups and the American Cancer Society were kind of up in arms. They said we don't need as many, you know, pap smears. But they came out with this and they said, yeah, this is such a common problem that women in their reproductive years, which maybe you would say to extend it, should be universally screened for domestic violence. So what do you say about this recommendation?
You know, I think it's just great. And it's important in a number of ways. One is that it really is based on the research that has come out over the last 10 or 15 years that show not only is this extremely common, but it's associated with not just the things we think about and read about in the newspaper, terrible injuries or homicide, but it's associated with long-term health consequences, and not just physical abuse, but emotional abuse as well are associated with those things. So this recommendation comes from a review of the research evidence of how important a problem this is, and also the evidence that there are ways that patients can be asked about domestic violence, which are appropriate and valid. And then finally, that we're seeing that an inquiry in the healthcare setting can be pivotal to a person being willing to take the next step to get some additional help and then ultimately to end the violent relationship or make it safer. So for those of us who work in this area, it's been really thrilling to have the Institute of Medicine and then the USPSTF review the evidence and come out with a recommendation that women be asked on a regular basis.
Yeah, as an ER doc, I mean, we do see it a lot. And the statistics, one in every four women in their lifetime will experience domestic violence. I think, you know, what do they say, every 9 seconds or something in this country, a woman is assaulted and beaten, and it's much more likely to be somebody she knows than random violence. So, you know, I think as an emergency physician, this really has been a long time coming. And there has been great research out there from people like yourself that looked at it. I mean, I remember when I first started practicing and left residency here in the state of Maryland, we started a statewide universal screening for the ER. And I was on the board of that, and we picked, you know, one rural hospital, one city hospital, and one suburban hospital. And we did a study in those three hospitals where we started with universal screening. And it really made a difference. And most hospitals now in the Maryland area have that as part of their triage for anything. You know, it isn't it's easy when someone comes in with trauma to think about it, but really, this is telling us we should think about it for anything. Right.
You know, that's so right. And Maryland has been really, I think, at the front end of figuring out how to make best practices and then how to move those recommendations into what actually happens when women are seen by doctors. And, you know, Johns Hopkins is known for the research right. that they've done in this area. And you're right. When I first started my practice, this is now, 25, 30 years ago, I worked in the emergency department. And we were aware when someone came in with an injury that this could be going on, but we didn't really have the tools or experience to know how to ask, what kind of context we should ask in, and then what to do. And I think that has improved quite a bit. There are tools and resources for clinicians, and there's certainly lots of available resources for people who are experiencing domestic violence that weren't so available 20 or 30 years ago. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, for instance, is something that anyone can call and talk with an advocate about what's going on and how to be safer. But your other point is, I think, that women are seen in clinic and in the emergency department not with an injury, but who are experiencing domestic violence. And that's an opportunity to begin the process of early intervention and helping someone really look at what their choices are and get connected to resources. So the emergency department is ripe with both injuries that are due to domestic violence, but also other presentations of conditions that are related to domestic violence, like headaches and palpitations, stomach pain, pelvic pain, lots of things like that that may be related to what someone is experiencing at home.
Yeah, and surprisingly enough, I mean, sometimes I had seen one, because I also had served on advocacy groups within the state and some faith-based advocacy groups too on the board and as chair of them. And you know, I had even seen cases where a woman would bring her perfectly well child or infant to the ER in the middle of the night. And it turned out that that was the only way she could get out of the house. And it was this attempt to, you know, connect and get help and be by herself, you know, making up some excuse with a child. So you'd be surprised at how many different ways, you know, women would present and things like that.
Well, I think people who are in unsafe situations will try to come up with a variety of strategies to increase their safety and often increase the safety of their children. So you're exactly right. People will do things that might not appear understandable at first glance, but then when you delve in a little deeper and you understand what's going on underneath, you begin to get an understanding of what that person may be dealing with and that this is the best choice that they see at that moment. And it's another reason why in our hospitals and our clinics, we try to have a lot of information easily available so that when someone comes into the healthcare setting, even if they're not ready to talk with someone yet, they'll be able to see what those advocacy numbers are. They will see that this is a place they could come to talk to their doctor or nurse and let them know what's going on. And we do that in the pediatric department so that moms can see that the information is there.
Yeah, I think that's important too. And so many women, you know, when it's happening to them, and it's funny, you know, even when I first started in my training, I had this concept that, oh, I'd be able to pick out who could be a victim of domestic violence. And you most certainly cannot. I mean, I have seen doctors that were victims. I've seen lawyers, judges. So you can't, I mean, every socioeconomic group that you can imagine has the potential. So I think, you know, when it's happening to women, they think, you know, this is the only, they're the only person in the world that something like this is happening to them. But I want to talk a little bit about some warning signs in relationships, what people can do. So stay tuned. We're going to talk about domestic violence.